Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
It's time now for the Friday Gathering, and I'm joined from our Limerick studio by Patrick O'Donovan, Minister of State at the Office of Public Works and Fine Gael TD for Limerick. Here in the studio we have Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central, and Kevin Doyle, Group Head of News at Independent News and Media. And I just see Micheál Lehane in the RTÉ newsroom has said that the reopening of all shops along with hairdressers and gyms is now most likely to happen on Tuesday. The final decision we know will be taken by Cabinet later on, but the widespread expectation in government circles is that it will happen on Tuesday rather than Wednesday. Patrick O'Donovan, thanks for joining us. Is that your understanding that reopening day will be Tuesday?
I don't know, Claire, to be honest about it. I know that there's a lot of speculation based on the Cabinet subcommittee last night, the NPHET letter yesterday and the Cabinet meeting today. But I suppose there's an anxiety that there would be certainty. And I think that, you know, later on this afternoon we'll get that, because a lot of people are very anxious to use the remaining period between now and Christmas to try and re-stimulate their towns and villages and city centres across the country and have as many businesses as possible open in the safest way possible.
You wanted the pubs to open, didn't you, the wet pubs?
I've been on with you before, and what I want is a responsible attitude to alcohol, and I want a responsible conversation around alcohol. And I think, unfortunately, we may rue the day that we're going to encourage more house parties, and that's my genuine personal opinion. And I think you had an earlier contributor on there, Danny Mackay, you know, saying more or less the same thing. Alcohol is part of life in Ireland, whether people like it or not, and there's a lot of it going to be consumed around Christmas. And the choice is controlled or uncontrolled environments. And it looks like that...
Not according to your party leader, who said, you know, people could go for a few drinks and then the likelihood is that they would then have a house party afterwards with the few drinks on board.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose that's what we have to base it on, what happened during the summer, what happened during the last lockdown, where most of the cases emanated from, and it's around the country. But look, it looks like that ship has sailed, and I just hope that people take the guidance as seriously as being laid out. But I have a fear that there will be a small minority. The vast majority of people always in Ireland do what they're asked to do. There's no issue with that.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, the disease is spreading amongst a minority, and that minority are spreading it to a majority.
Yeah, it's really interesting, the feedback that we've had on the programme this morning, and people are really concerned about what might happen in December. And a lot of people are saying that they feel that the government is getting this wrong.
Well, look, government has to base it on a number of issues. They have to base it on, first of all, the public health advice. They have to base it on their own experiences. They have to base it as well on economics. And I know that a lot of recent contributors in the area of public health and virology and immunology would say you can't take those factors into account, but you have to take them into account, because people's mental health is suffering massively as well in terms of anxiety and in terms of just sheer worry and stress as to whether there will be a future. So these couple of weeks have to be more than about economy and immunology and virology. They also have to be about hope. And that's ultimately the message of Christmas, is about hope. And I hope that's what gives us some element of glimmer of light into the future.
Let's find out what Breed Smith thinks now, that, you know, that balance has to be struck between the public health concerns and the bit of hope and the mental health and Christmas, bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very human consideration. But I think what we can say is obvious now is that the government are accepting that there's going to be another lockdown in 2021, in early 2021, because you wouldn't lift the restrictions to this extent if you didn't believe we're going to have one in January or February. And this is the hardest time of year for the health services to cope. So I think it's a big mistake. And I think we should be listening more to NPHET than we are to the businesses.
Which bit of it is the big mistake?
Well, opening up the restaurants and opening up the shops to the extent that they will. I think we need to sell it to the public that we have to forgo the idea that we can have a normal Christmas. We're not going to have one anyway, because it's not going to be normal, even under these lifted restrictions. But we need to look forward, and that 2021 should be the year of hope. And if we can stop the country going into another lockdown, that would be the best thing we could do. But I think the government have also failed to use the periods of restrictions, and particularly the period when we were in the last lockdown, to do what was necessary to resource tracking and tracing, to resource the testing capacity, and to resource things, simple things like the Health and Safety Authority. I mean, I have figures from PQs I've asked recently which show that we've only upped the number of health and safety inspectors in the HSA by 4 since pre-pandemic to post-pandemic. And there are clusters breaking out in workplaces. There are clusters in meat factories again. There are clusters in construction. There are clusters in schools. There's clusters in nursing homes again. And to keep that suppressed, we need to track and trace backwards. I was listening to a public health doctor you had on this day last week, I think, or earlier Monday. And she said it's impossible for them to go back as far as they need to find out where exactly is the virus breaking out. And when you listen to the more, the public health doctors that are more keen on crushing the virus and having a zero COVID strategy, that's the one thing they will say, mm-hmm. that we have to trace backwards and be able to crush the virus where it's breaking out. But they can't even do that.
Well, maybe the hope is, Kevin, that, you know, we can just get through this next period if it means opening up and then suppressing again in January, and then we'll be at the point where the vaccine is available.
Yeah, the key word in that, Claire, was probably hope. I think there's no doubt about it. This is a huge day and a huge decision for the government. Because if you go back to March, interestingly enough, there's a separate battle maybe tonight. Back in March, Leo Varadkar set the all-time TV record. 1.6 million people tuned in to that first national address when the country was shut down effectively, or the start of the shutdown, if you like. That beat the previous record, which was the toy show at 1.35 million. So Micheál Martin and Ryan Tuberty can go head-to-head tonight for the all-time TV record. And I think both will be watched, one with dread and one with enthusiasm, but both will be trying to sell a message of hope. And I think Breed is right, actually, in what she's saying in terms of that the January lockdown. I think there are a lot of people, your texters maybe go against this theory a little bit, but I think a lot of people just want some level of relief over the next few weeks. But if we're to do that, we have to do it in the full knowledge that it probably means in January we're going backwards. Yeah. On the 6th and 7th of January last year, there were 760 patients on trolleys and chairs in hospital A&Es. And it's that way every single year. The RT News, the Irish Independent, all the papers run out the stories of the people sitting on trolleys for 18, 24, 48 hours. There hasn't been a big flu outbreak this year, but you still have to think January will have that backlog.
Yeah, that's the payoff, Patrick O'Donovan, isn't it? January, gone. Level five.
Well, we don't know that yet. I mean, we all of this, Claire, and I said it the last time that I was on with you, has to come down to personal responsibility. I mean, Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar, no matter how many people tune in to watch tonight, can't stop the spread of this virus. We all can. And we're being asked to do a number of things, but we're also being asked to support our friends and neighbours who have had their businesses obliterated. And we're being asked to do it in a responsible way. Being asked to drop our guard. We're not being asked to not continue to wash our hands, cough etiquette, social distancing. So we can do it if we obey what we're being asked to do by way of the small things. And we can have that minor opening up for the next couple of weeks and a reviewed in without just, I don't think it's a fait accompli that we'll be back in January. And if it is, it's because of our collective fault and it's a collective failing to our neighbours.
It's strange, though, that the Taoiseach brought it up, you know, if it's not an accepted inevitability to say it in public in the way that he did.
Well, I think, you know, if he didn't, he'd be criticised in for saying, well, you know, is it going to be all the crack of gold at the end of the rainbow? I mean, ultimately, this disease is spreading through the vectors of person-to-person contact. And we can have all of the opening ups and closing downs we want. That's where this thing is spreading from. And if we all act with personal responsibility over the next number of weeks, it will help.
Will masses be allowed to go ahead?
I hope so, because I think part of Christmas for a huge number of people, millions of people on the island of Ireland, is about spirituality. It's a huge part, for instance, of my Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I know that from speaking even to my own parish priest, it's a small town in West Limerick. He expects to see in excess of 4,000 people on an average Christmas wanting to attend Mass. They have plans in place that will include the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th of December. But people need to be allowed to go to Mass and all religious services, whatever the denomination is, because what is Christmas about? If you take the Christ out of Christmas, what is it about? And for millions of people on this island, it has to be about hope and it has to be about religious celebration.
Just going back to Neffet, and I don't know who wants to come in on this, but Neffet said you can't have hospitality and the house visits. You can't have them. And what it looks like, the choice has been made now that you're going to have hospitality, whereas everybody who hasn't seen a grandparent or a parent or a family member since March in some cases is being asked to wait until the 18th of December.
I think what's interesting on that one, Claire, is from speaking to people in government, they have a view that if you're Tony Holohan or Ronan Glynn or one of the scientists on NPHET and you're looking, what does a good pandemic look like for you? And that might sound like a really callous question, but the truth of it is that you have really low numbers of this virus, you have low numbers of people in hospital and low numbers of death, which is obviously what we all want. But if you're a scientist, the easiest way to achieve that is to lock everybody in their houses forever. And then you'll have very little spread. And I think the mood in government is that that's not the reality, because if you go back to that infamous reeling in the ears moment where you had Leo Varadkar on in that first public battle with NPHET, which we're now still seeing kind of bubbling, he said the reason they wouldn't lock down that time was that they needed to know how they would open up again. NPHET are still not really giving them that opening up, so the government are just going to go and do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we have to listen to NPHET. I mean, we may not like what we hear, but I think we have to listen to them, because otherwise it's ridiculous to think that a tánaiste or a government could make the decisions that the science and the medicine are telling us. Now, when you put it in terms of seeing your granny and seeing your loved one, my heart really goes out to those people. And there's a big campaign going on throughout the country at the moment to allow nursing home visits to open up. And I think if we had to make a choice, we should make that one, to allow people see their loved ones, albeit in a limited way, but to allow them to see them and to be able to spend some time with them.
But do you see the choice that has been made? So what we're likely to be told is that from the 4th of December, the restaurants can open and the pubs serving food, but family visits won't be allowed until the 18th.
I think that's wrong. I think that's absolutely wrong.
Patrick?
Well, look, I mean, I don't disagree with Breed, to be fair about it on this, and she'd probably fall off the chair because...
She's still there.
I don't believe it's either or in any... Now, it obviously is going to come down to either or, but I'm articulating a personal opinion.
Yeah, but NPHET said it's either or.
Yeah, well, you know, NPHET also said at the very start of this pandemic, and everybody said at the start of this pandemic, that the virus is spreading because of close contact and because of, person-to-person contact, and us not obeying the simple things of hand-washing, cough etiquette, cleaning our masks, cleaning our faces. So I don't believe for 2 weeks that it's either or.
Patrick, you can't just say it's down to personal behaviour when the capacity in the things that I spoke about earlier on has not been reached, has not been delivered by the state, when there aren't, not even paying the student nurses to do the work that they do. You now have a ballot for strike action, probably going to be in favour of strike action from the public health doctors, who've been continually ignored about their status by the government. And we don't have enough capacity in the hospitals to deal with, Kevin described earlier on.
But look at the stats. Ireland has the lowest numbers of cases per million at the moment. I think, you know, our cases at the moment on average is about 65 cases per million across the area that's covered by the European Centre for Disease Control, with the United Kingdom's four times that, nearly 270. So we have brought it to a level where it's, you know, every case is a case that shouldn't happen. But we have brought it to under control to a degree where our hospitals haven't been overcome. And that's the most important thing.
I want to move on now, because I want to talk about the other big story of the week. Again, it was Seamus Wolfe and his appointment to the Supreme Court. Kevin, how do you think it was handled yesterday and where does it go?
Well, I think, I heard Brendan Howland on your show earlier going, what else do you want to know? I think that's a sign that Helen McEntee has got out the other side of it. But there's no doubt that she's been damaged by this as a new minister, a first-time cabinet minister. And I think, to be honest, Claire, she's probably been more damaged by her own colleagues than the opposition in a lot of ways, because they made her stew for 2 weeks, didn't allow her go in to take the questions. And I don't believe for a second that if that was Pascal Donoghue or Simon Coveney or Simon Harris, who had found themselves at the centre of a controversy like that, that they would have tried to push back against that Q&A session for two solid weeks. So she it's not over, but I think I don't think we're going to be looking at a no confidence motion or anything like
that. That's an interesting perspective, that she was treated differently. Why?
I also thought, and I was talking to Kevin about this outside, that it looked a bit sexist, to be honest, because she was a woman, a young woman, that she was being held back from doing what the other guys usually get to do when they're being questioned like this.
Now, I know she has her own mind. She could have come out and said, I'm perfectly happy to go and answer
well,
the questions.
Well, could she, you know, in terms of the hierarchy within her party, could she have come out publicly?
She's a full cabinet minister. There's no reason why she couldn't.
Well, what she did say yesterday, which I thought was most interesting, was that the only person she spoke to about it was Leo Varadkar, who said he would make a good judge, that Wolf would make a good judge. And how do you decide who's better than whom without actually sitting down and talking to them and interviewing them and doing it in a panel way?
Okay, well,
it's extraordinary the way these things work.
About this. You'd know better than most. Was Helen McEntee held back by senior members of the party at Cabinet?
Claire, I've heard a lot of rubbish about this over the last number of weeks, but this is we're really bringing out the wheelie bin now. I know Helen McEntee well, and I know she's been a minister for 4 years. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether she's on year four or year one. Once you're appointed by the president, you're a minister and you take responsibility at Cabinet. But what I do think is very unnice, really, is the suggestion, she's a young woman, from some members of the Dáil, some male members of the Dáil. Whether she's a young woman or an old man, it doesn't matter. She's there by right, and she's doing her job, and she's doing it well.
It was an awful mistake, though, to hold out for 2 weeks and send all sorts of people onto shows like this and say, no, we couldn't possibly do that.
She didn't hold out at all. She actually made
herself... And then reverse back into doing what they asked.
No, she actually made herself available for next Tuesday, but that wasn't agreed. For what would have transpired would have been a longer period of time and would have been what some people were saying wasn't forensic enough, would have been more forensic. But if you look at what Dermot Ahern, former Minister for Justice, and I wouldn't have been in my day now any great fan of his, but if you look what he wrote in the Daily Mail this week in relation to the appointment of judges, he said, and he has no axe to grind for or against anyone here, he did exactly the same thing. And actually, on some occasions, he hardly even told the Taoiseach what name he was bringing forward.
He also said Micheál Martin should have smelled a rat. He said that last week in that column.
Yeah, but I mean, if you whatever about smelling the rats, if you look to see what he said in relation to Helen McEntee's handling of this as a former Minister for Justice, and including Mary Harney, former Tánaiste. Now, whatever Brendan Howland said earlier, and I was listening to him, that might have been a prerogative of the Labour Party for they were in government. But it is...
But you do things differently.
Helen McEntee has followed the Cabinet handbook. And she has also carried out her duty under the Constitution, which is... And she laid it out very clearly yesterday. It is not a matter to be kicked around in the Dáil, and it's certainly not a matter. What we're dealing with here, effectively.
Come on in here, because I see you smiling there.
Just before
in
I finish. What we're dealing with here, effectively, is the fallout from Golfgate. They didn't manage to get impeachment. They got Miss Justice Susan Denham's report. And when they didn't like that, and by the way, when Seamus Woolf was appointed, no one had an issue with him.
It's interesting, Patrick, you say that they didn't manage to get impeachment. We have a motion on.
We'll see where that goes.
We'll see how that goes. You've already decided where it's going to go because you're going to try and obstruct it. And you've made that very clear. But
this
nevertheless,
has nothing to do with Seamus Woolf's ability to be a judge.
The motion
this
is still to be laid before the House.
Politics.
The motion has to be laid before the House, and that are the rules. And those are the rules. But look, it's very obvious to the population out there that what goes on is that the government's appoint the judges based on their cronies and their contacts and their members and their supporters. And Seamus Woolf's record as an activist in Fine Gael is very clear. All the judges that you have appointed in the past have been done mainly on the basis of who's connected with what party, whether it's Fianna Fáil in power or Fine Gael. And as I said yesterday, sometimes a splash of Labour. But you can't deny that, and that's the way the public see it. Political appointments.
And we know the Judicial Appointments Advisory Board said that he was qualified for the job. Just before we finish, Kevin, I want to ask about the other story of the week, the RTE gathering, which was on the front pages of the newspapers. Lots of criticism. How do you think it was handled overall?
Well, I think there are still questions there, and it'll be interesting to see what happens when the communications with the Oireachtas Committee go back and forth. I think, to be honest, it was fascinating in many ways, and I'm sure mortifying for them to see some of the biggest names in this building have to go out one after another on their own programmes and report. And as journalists, we don't like to have to report on our own organisations and our own bosses, but to have to report on yourself is very, very difficult, I imagine, for those. And I think probably the reason it has gone political, I think the Garda investigation, I think most people probably think that's a little bit OTT, but I think the reason it's gone political, and politicians were actually quite slow last Friday to jump on this bandwagon. It took till Sunday into Monday, really, before the Oireachtas Committee showed much interest. I think that was because perhaps at a corporate level, RTE didn't really get into how it was allowed to
happen. Why was that, politicians? Why were you slow to to speak on it?
I don't think anybody asked really clear to be honest about it, but I think that this has done everybody actually a bit of a favour.
Nobody was talking about anything else. But go on.
I think people are capable of making mistakes.
You don't usually wait to be asked, Patrick. Well,
I wait for you to ring me, Kevin. I think it proves that people are, notwithstanding that what they did was silly and stupid, they're capable of making mistakes. But the difference is, I think, you know, the previous issue in relation to Golfgate was on level 2. This is on level 5, a much higher level.
If it was me that was standing on that picture,
you'd be asking me, Claire, are you going to resign? And that's the difference.
Okay, we've got to leave it there. Take a break.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.